This episode of Radio Radar is brought to you by Best Buy. You can pre-order Call of Duty Black Ops 2 now at BestBuy.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of Radio Radar. We hope you enjoyed last week's, like, three-hour-long episode where we just discussed video game characters. And
how many people do you think got to the end of that episode?
Every single person on Earth.
Really?
No, like a few people.
I'd like to see in the comments which number you quit at. Like, just post the number, like, 50, 72.
Where we lost you. 100
is a grueling number to try.
It is, and I'm happy we went through it. People seem to like it a lot. We also, I'm going to post them. We got a few fan arts of the request, Kid Icarus's wings being Pitt's wings being ripped off by Kratos. The winner, since we got two of them, one was from somebody in the U.S. and one wasn't. The one from somebody in the U.S. was an okay Photoshop job.
Okay.
And the person from overseas did an amazing illustration. So maybe we can find like a code we can give you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at dredging up codes.
Yeah, we'll find something for both of you because they're both pretty good. But yeah, you can check them both out in the article. But yeah, episode 12. I am your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is
Tom Magrino.
Henry Gilbert.
Ryan Talgenic.
How you doing, Ryan Talgenic?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good.
He's the only person you ask how he's doing?
Yeah, because I know how you guys are doing.
Well, how am I doing?
Angry.
Yeah.
And glum.
Glum. Glum's a good one, yeah.
That's it.
Sigh. Patented Henry sigh.
So this is Halloween week, or it was Halloween week. At one point, Halloween was...
Did you post pictures of yourself dressed up as Tingle?
Yeah, you can check that out on my Twitter.
Or on the GamesRadar's Facebook page.
Facebook,
you can see me in costume, too.
Yeah.
GamesRadar. Wow. Facebook.com.
Or Facebook.com/
I'm sure it's GamesRadar, Facebook.com. But yeah, there's a picture. I dressed up as Tingle, and I went as all in as I could.
You get to see what kind of underwear Cooper wears on a regular basis.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, great.
And everybody will judge
him. It's like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh, are you really the not tidy whiteys, but the tighties?
Absolutely not. I had to buy those specifically for this costume.
That makes me feel better. I don't want to know what your underwear
is. Well, now you do know, because you know what it's not.
Well, I mean...
Process of elimination.
There are at least two other choices, one of which is worse.
You can go boxer brief or straight-up boxers. I don't want to know. Don't
Or just straight-up banana hammock.
Well, there's also there's the option of no option.
Exactly. High five, Hank. Yeah.
There are many.
Also, Lorenzo dressed as Little Mac.
That was an amazing costume.
It was a great costume.
Where do you think he picked up that pink hoodie?
He told us, actually. It was like American Eagle apparel or something.
Yeah. No, all I know is he said he was returning it, and that's a bad call. Because if you look at the picture, you're going to be like, God, that guy pulls off a...
He does pink really well.
Really well.
And, like, his complexion and skin tone is perfect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can check out that picture on GamesRadar's Facebook, which is GamesRadarFacebook.com.
Oh, yes. GamesRadar Facebook. No periods or colons or hyphens.
Just type it into Google. Honestly, it'll probably autocorrect
it. No spaces.
Yeah.
It's
been a weird week, guys.
I'm like
it's been
a 29-year-old and just so mentally incapable of keeping up
cool.
with this stuff.
It's cool. It's been
along the way, I became an old man that doesn't know how shit works.
I think it was when you were like 12.
Yeah.
Based on what I've learned about you so far.
HowStuffWorks.com, Facebook.
Yes.
How do you do it?
You do this for me.
Big week in reviews. We'll talk about some Assassin's Creed later. But in the meantime, let's jump right into the top seven, which was Halloween-themed.
Oh, man, this was such a cool
one. I've wanted to do this one almost since I started here. It is the top seven creepiest urban legends in gaming.
I was not familiar with some of these, and then there are some other ones, too, like... That I like the haunted Majora's Mask.
Yeah,
we can get on that.
Well,
later,
yeah, it's messy. So let's jump right in. Number seven is actually, while doing research on this one, I realized that the main source of information from it came from an old GamesRadar article.
Oh, really?
A news post by one Justin Tao.
A news post by Justin Tao, who contacted Bethesda about the rumor that Fallout 3 predicted the future.
Okay.
So here's what you had to do in Fallout 3. Fallout 3, there's a radio station. You could kill the person who hosts it and then blow up the building later, I think.
Okay.
If you did that, that radio station, which you could still access via your Pip-Boy, would still function.
Be broadcasting.
And it would broadcast Mad... I think it was a... Was it Mad Dog something? Mad something?
Three
Dog. Three Dog. Yeah, Three Dog would still host it, even though you killed him. in a really sad voice.
Right.
And he would just read off numbers, and then there would be Morse code. And the code, when translated, first predicted the date, the exact date that Gary Coleman would die, then predicted the oil spill in the Gulf, and then predicted the Queen of England's death in 2014, and then predicted Britney Spears winning a Grammy in 2020, and then there was one final – it wasn't a prediction. It was just news reports. One final – and then there was one about YouTube that was like a guy got kicked in the nuts on YouTube. The last one was
– end of the world.
There was no date, but I'm going to read it. I can't believe they've actually done it. Not long left. They were warned, but they just kept pushing the boundaries of science. The noise. I can't take the noise anymore. And the light, dear God. The universe is slowly unraveling around us. I'm not going to wait for death. I have a pistol in the attic.
Dark.
Bethesda denied this.
Oh, really?
They denied it.
So someone deciphered the Morse code, and they just denied it.
Well, so apparently the thing that is probable, extremely elaborate hoax with a ton of fake YouTube videos showing it.
Nobody ever went to actually check this?
People did, and they didn't find it. But there are YouTube videos showing it off. You're going to find that as a pretty common theme throughout all of these urban legends.
Well, I remember trying to edit this article, and I'm like, can I have some evidence? And you're like, no.
You kept being like, post the video that shows that the Earth's going to die. And I'm like, I can't do that, Tom. Stop. And you kept asking, like, can you just post this video that probably doesn't exist?
Technology does that these days, right?
You chose to go with the rumor over any investigation.
I did investigation on all of them, but it's a lot more fun to tell the actual story than to just at the end be like, surprise, someone made this up.
As with most urban legends, this is bullshit.
It's more fun to believe that a stoned babysitter microwaved a baby.
Exactly.
Than it is to...
It's more fun. Plus, that was my cousin's best friend.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Wow.
Real talk. Number six. Is another one that this is the one you really wanted footage of.
God, this one is weird.
Yeah.
The game was called Killswitch, released in 1989 with a very limited run by a Russian company, like 5,000 to 10,000. The numbers kind of bounce around depending on where you find it. So I didn't actually cover everything in this story because it's a really long story, but I can give a little more insight to it here. So you could play as one of two characters, and it took place, it was like a platformer kind of thing in a Russian, mine, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now, the one character was a woman with really scraped up elbows, like bloody elbows, that would change size completely randomly and like grow and shrink as you played, which made it difficult to play.
Hmm.
And as you played, you found out that like demons were rising up and all this really eerie stuff. Not trying to be like, oh, this is really happening. Just really creepy stuff.
Right.
So you could play it as her. But once you beat the game erased itself. Which, like, there are things, like, nowadays there have been games that do that, but this is 1989, when it was like, why would you do that? Games are supposed to be fun. Tetris. Yeah. The other characters...
Wait, what game erases itself these days?
I went to a panel at GDC where there was a game that, like, every time you lost a life, the game's code would get more corrupt until enough people lost and the game deleted itself. And it is now impossible to play, because they intentionally didn't make backups. Uh-huh. And you could only play it on their server on site.
That's interesting.
And apparently somebody who was playing it lost and then immediately started crying when they lost a life.
Wow.
It was trippy as shit. I think we covered it in an article. I'll link to it in the...
I remember reading about it.
Yeah, I think it was called Glitch Hiker or something. Or
sounds
Glitch,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the one character. The other character... And also, when I say the game deletes itself when you finish it, there are other people that say that the game deletes itself when you die at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any end game is permanent end game. The other character is a demon... that has all these cool powers, but is completely invisible, which makes the game really fucking hard. The story is no one ever beat it as that character. So that's the part of the urban legend that's like, oh, that's kind of weird. The part that made me put it on the list is that apparently a Japanese businessman that bought a copy, there was one copy still sealed, which was unheard of because people got addicted to trying to beat it with that other character and like burnt through all the copies. Japanese guy... bought the game for $733,000 and said he was going to, like, post it online, like, I'm going to...
So thus far, I believe that this happened.
Sure, it sounds reasonable.
I can see a Japanese businessman doing that.
Yeah. Buys the game.
That seems reasonable.
Says he's going to record footage of it and document playing it so that there's at least some evidence of this game existing.
Mm-hmm.
None of that footage showed up. Only footage that ever showed up was a video of that guy all ragged looking with his tie undone, looking like shit in front of the character select screen, crying.
Yeah. So the reason why I don't like this urban legend
that's
is
so
because you're saying something like the video has surfaced. And the video is unfindable.
Because it was also erased.
No.
Ooh.
No, it wasn't.
Spooky.
That wasn't part of the urban legend. You just made that up.
I wrote it down.
I know you did. My suggestion.
That's a cool story, but it's shenanigans. Yeah. I don't believe it.
It's still creepy.
If it's not on YouTube, it didn't happen.
All right. Well,
you're the boring kid at the sleepover. He's like, that's not true. My dad would have told me.
My dad would have told me there were ghosts if there were ghosts. My dad's in the army.
He wouldn't have told me anything.
I have been that kid my entire life.
And you don't plan on ever. And when you have a kid, that kid will be that kid.
That kid, I will train that kid to be that kid.
All my dad ever told me was, can't you fucking learn to play baseball?
Jesus Christ. Your dad was rude.
Yeah. At sleepovers,
at
sleepovers, I was a kid who fell asleep first, and horrible things happened.
Marker on your face, yeah. It explains your current situation. Yeah. Everything about
my fear of falling asleep.
Fear of everything.
My distrust of
of Sharpies.
Your commitment issues.
Your phobia of Sharpies.
Your hatred towards everyone.
I just was sleepy. I couldn't stay awake as long as
that.
So as far as things that there are videos of, number 5 is a Minecraft urban legend. There are a lot of Minecraft urban legends. Yeah.
This was the one that creeped me out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and there is, just like the last one, there's the part of the urban legend that sounds completely made up, and then there's the part that sounds completely made up and scares the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but I think it's Herobrine.
That's how I would do it.
Herobrine is... So there's the Minecraft Steve character, who's just a guy in a green shirt and pants. Mm. Everyone has seen him at this point. He's on box arts and all that stuff. So the rumor... Somebody was streaming the game, turned, looked at a lava lake, and Minecraft Steve was standing in the middle of it, except he didn't have eyes, and he was just standing there staring. Later it went on, people said that other people claimed also seeing Herobrine in their games digging 2x2 tunnels and building pyramids. The rumor was that it was Notch's dead brother that he either put into the game or was just in the game. Apparently it spread around like a virus.
Yeah, yeah. What a genius like thing to put in a game like this.
So Notch denied this. I never had a brother, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Patch one day came out. Herobrine has been removed from the game.
Oh, really?
Probably just to fuck with people, maybe not. But while streaming this, and there's a picture in the article of the first stream picture of him, like one of the first images. While streaming this, the guy's stream crashed. Came back up. He's like, I'm going to look for this guy again, looking for it. Some people in the chat claimed that they heard him bragging about this being a hoax, but it doesn't even sound like somebody doing a hoax would actually brag about it, so I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Looking for Herobrine, sees him again, feed crashes again. This time, everyone on that site is given a redirect link. When they click on it, it's a picture of Herobrine's face. Eyes are still gone, but human eyes are rolling in it.
Oh.
Nope.
Nope. When somebody looked into the source of the page, the following text was there. Are you looking at it? You want to read this?
It has been reported that some victims of torture during the act would retreat into a fantasy world from which they could not wake up. In the catatonic state, the victim lived in a world just like their normal one, except they weren't being tortured. The only way that they realized they needed to wake up was a note they found in their fantasy world. It would tell them about their condition and tell them to wake up! And then, or even then, it would often take months until they were ready to discard their fantasy world and please wake up!
So every time I read that, despite the full knowledge that it's complete nonsense...
Yeah.
Chills.
I have chills. Like
I can't
you would
fucking
not
deal with
right
this.
Now.
I thought, like I said, since I started here, I'm like, I want to do a thing about all these gaming urban legends. As I was doing research and writing this, I'm like, this was the worst idea I've ever had.
I have to admit, like, I love scary shit like this, but I can't take it. Like, I freak the fuck out.
During our live stream, the 24-hour live stream, Sophia was playing Slender, and I went into the other room. Ryan watching Sophia play Slender was more frightened than I've seen anyone playing Slender. Just all of a sudden, like, she turns. No one reacts, and he just goes, yeah! Just fucking, like, runs out of the room.
I can't take it.
It was just tense in general, not just for Ryan. Like, for Amber and me, too, we were, like, could not take it.
It was a mess. Number 4 is a little bit of a breather. It's still kind of weird, but it's not as outright scary.
Mm.
And this one might be one of the oldest ones. This one has been referenced in The Simpsons. It's been referenced all over the place. It's an arcade game by the name of Polybius. 1981, a few arcades around Portland, Oregon got a game that was sort of like Tempest. It was all rainbowy and flashing lights, like almost looked seizure inducing. There was no mm-hmm. there are some people have like blurry pictures of the cabinet, but it's hard to make anything out, and there's no copies of the game anymore. So it was in Oregon. People got addicted. People would sometimes fist fight over playing it. I don't personally see that part being that unrealistic, because what the fuck else were you doing in 1981 in Portland?
Totally.
The thing, though, is apparently the people who were playing it started to get headaches, started to get sick, nauseous, weird addiction errors, amnesia, and some people may have killed themselves.
In no way related to the flashing bright rainbow lights.
No. So let's say you decide in your mind somebody made a game with flashing lights that gave people seizures unintentionally, whatever. Mm-hmm. Apparently, men in black suits were seen also hiding around the games, occasionally going and taking recordings from the game, leading people to come to two conclusions. One was that this company was a shell company for Atari in the early days because they were testing some new ideas. Mm-hmm. And two, it was a government test to attempt subliminal messaging because that's the other part of this urban legend.
I believe it.
Yeah.
This one is one of them. There's a few on here that I'm like, that I think.
I can see the U.S. government doing some really shady.
In like the early 80s they're like, we can build.
Like, we need this to defeat the Soviets.
Like, we could ship over some video games and all of a sudden, it's just like kill Stalin flashing on the screen. When did Stalin die? Probably before 81.
Yes. They did LSD tests and stuff, so I wouldn't put it past them to try around with, experiment with arcade machines.
This is true, actually. This is
people,
a true thing.
People have come out saying that they, like, worked for the company that made it. And there's all these, like, weird – it's almost like how every 6 months somebody's like, I was the guy who did the autopsy on the aliens at Area 51. Yeah. Like, it has those same group of crazies. But it's creepy. So the next one's another one that I actually genuinely believe. It's that Earthbound's final level is you – performing an abortion.
I'm just remembering the edit that I made on this article. You were, it's a part, you're like, and the second part, back in time, the team is now represented by robots who fight their way through a weird pink level that looks eerily organic. And I think your original copy was something like, pink level that looks sort of like a cervix.
There is a part of the level.
I'm like, how actually do you know what a cervix looks like?
Google.
Yeah.
Everyone at home, Google image search cervix, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
You'll be pleasantly surprised.
It actually.
From what I know of female anatomy, you're not really going to get a good picture of a cervix.
They have small cameras now that can do these things. God. So, major Earthbound spoilers for the end of Earthbound.
No,
I'm sorry. So the entire boss, as you're playing Earthbound, you're looking – an alien shows up named Gigas. He's a pure embodiment of evil, and he's trying to destroy the world. Near the end of the game, your characters are asked to make the ultimate sacrifice, which is essentially put your – like one of those like a suicide mission kind of thing to defeat Gigas. But he's too powerful to even think about defeating. So you're sent to a, quote, time where he was in his most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. The level is pink and gooey and organic. You are little robots. You go and you fight Gigas, who doesn't look like a giant alien. He looks like a weird red mist ultrasoundy kind of thing.
Weird.
And as you fight him, he says, as you do damage, he just starts babbling incoherently.
Wow.
So, and also if you look at like the full level, like people have just taken the full level, looks kind of like the parts of the female anatomy that you can't technically see, but there are medical diagrams of.
Jeez.
That's fucked up.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
And then what makes it even more fucked up is the Earthbound creator said that some parts of the game were inspired by a time where he mistakenly walked into the wrong movie theater and saw a movie that had somebody being murdered that when he was watching it as a child thought it was a violent rape, and it scarred him so much that he then put parts of what he saw and thought he saw into the game.
Wow.
Ugh. Jeez.
I didn't intend to let him do that.
Yeah. So that was number three.
Jeez. Wow.
Back onto the more less disturbing, more creepy side is the Lavender Town tone. 1996, a bunch of kids between 7 and 12 started killing themselves in Japan, is how this story starts
off. Okay. Carry on.
Great start.
Main connection between all of them is that they had all recently played Pokemon, either red or green, because blue was green in there. Mm-hmm. And they had all gotten to the same part of the game, which is Lavender Town. If you've played Pokemon, that's the area where there are ghosts.
Oh, yes.
The music is really, really fucked up. and that's the American music. When you listen to the Japanese version, it's a lot more high-pitched and a lot weirder. Urban legend goes that the music was too high-pitched when they made it, and it was causing kids to have the typical suite of urban legends issues. Right. Nosebleeds, insomnia, and eventually suicide. The thing that adds a little credence to this is, A, the idea that the playtesters for Nintendo were all adults, and it is true that there are certain tones you lose the ability to hear as you get older, and that they couldn't hear those tones. That's why children were affected. And B, with no explanation, Nintendo did change the music in the American release.
That's the most suspicious part of it.
Yeah.
Also,
they're probably just hedging their bets.
Like, maybe just in case. Yeah.
Well, also, by the time it came out in America, there had also been the Pokemon seizure thing that happened.
Oh, yeah. So it also wouldn't be the first time that Pokemon caused problems.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this one's extra creepy if you listen to the music, because the music itself is already like,
I need to go. I'm going to immediately listen to that as soon as we get out of here.
Okay.
Well, the listeners are listening to it right now, because it's right underneath what we're saying. Number one, which is another spoiler for a game. I apologize. The game came out over 10 years ago. Final Fantasy VIII.
Mm. So, that's a really creepy image.
Yeah. So if you look at the image, it's a picture of Squall, and he doesn't have a face. There's a giant black hole where his face should be. So, on end of disc one, Squall is fighting Edea?
I'd go with Edea.
Edea. Hmm. You have her about beat. You're fighting on, like, a parade float because RPG.
Right.
She throws, and then when you think you have her beat, she jumps up and throws a, like, 5-foot-long ice crystal at the main character. It goes through his chest, and he falls off a building, essentially. He falls, just falls.
It was quite a shocking cliffhanger to the first disc.
Especially considering, like, Final Fantasy VII killed off a major character. Maybe Final Fantasy VIII will kill off the main character. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what happened in the game. Happens in the game is the next disc starts up. Cloud's in a jail. He touches
Squall.
Touches his chest. He's like, huh, there's no wound. That's the last time it's mentioned.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really matter.
Yes. Because for the rest of the game, things get kind of trippy. So Squall, was sort of like, he was just a guy in the army. He wasn't like a high ranking or anything. He suddenly becomes the hero of the story, trying to save the world. Moon creatures show up. Random stuff that doesn't really fit with the first half of the game starts to happen, and things get more and more unrealistic and almost to become like a power fantasy for Squall. When you get to the end of the game and you defeat the last boss, the last cutscene makes no fucking sense at all.
None.
It's just a bunch of blurry, like, you'll suddenly see the main love interest, and as the cutscene goes on, she gets blurrier and blurrier.
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost like ripples in the water instead of things happening. Characters keep disappearing. There's flashes of a scene, and that scene is when Squall is falling, and he looks up, and she's reaching down for him after he gets hit with the crystal.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he appears with a giant hole in his face. It wraps up. But the rumor is that Squall did die when that crystal hit him, and that the entire game was his, like, last death dream. Death dream.
Yep.
This one makes me really want to play Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, it does. I'm not going to, but it does. This one actually sounds like it's actually real. I don't know if it's really an urban legend much as a thing that was intentionally
theory,
designed into the game.
But I've also heard some people be like, oh, that story exaggerates how weird things get. But
Nope, they don't.
I don't think so.
It got really weird.
It just doesn't seem like a Final Fantasy kind of thing to do.
Yeah. But now you're taking away my happy ending set to the Fei Wong song, and it's not as
tainted forever.
Yeah, it's tainted forever.
Yeah.
Yes, and I don't have the full story written out, but I already know what the community choice is going to be.
It'll be the Majora's Mask, the haunted cartridge.
Ben is dead.
Yes.
So I can tell you a little bit about this story. This is the community choice award. So, kid buys a copy of Majora's Mask from a garage sale from a creepy old man. Copy looks all beat up and stuff, and the kid's like, oh, maybe it's a debug cartridge or something. And he goes, and there's the first slot's character name is Ben. So he's like, okay, whatever, I'll just make a second slot named Link. Starts playing through the game. Randomly, the NPCs start calling him Ben instead of Link. And he's like, whatever, it's a beat up old game. He goes and deletes Ben. Game freaks the fuck out. Starts referring to him as nothing. Text gets all jarbled. And there's a bunch of YouTube videos of this one. This one's an extremely elaborate thing. A bunch of YouTube videos where a really fucking creepy,
like, the goddamn scariest.
It's like Link with a derp face.
And it's like he's statue. All stretched out and
starts showing up like underwater. Goes back to the person's house, finds out that the kid who lived there drowned. All this weird shit. There's like, it's an extremely long story with like a bunch of long videos. It's like he'll go underwater and his character will immediately drown, and then the statue of creepy derp face Link will just show up there.
Yeah,
really messed
bizarre.
Up. Jeez. And the face that kid has is like the creepiest.
Yeah, and it starts following him around. Like it starts like following the Link around.
Yeah. It's a messy, messy story. Ugh. Creeps the shit out of me.
Super creepy.
So that is gaming's creepiest urban legends. I regret writing this so much because I felt the need to keep researching after I did it, and it opens so many doors. There's so many other ones. There's like the Luigi is Dead and Luigi's Mask one, which is
Mansion?
Only really Luigi's Mansion, which is only substantiated by the fact that in one room, when lightning strikes, you can see what looks like Luigi hanging from the rafters.
Oh gosh,
there's there's the
I never heard that one.
Cracked had a story where they brought up the Hell People in Shadow Valley and Mario Galaxy, where there's a part where if you look in the distance, they're just little eyes, and it's like, oh, I wonder what that is. Somebody like went into the game and like took out the textures. It just looks like fucking ghosts in the distance staring at you. Ugh. Gaming is fucked up.
Yeah.
And that is gaming's creepiest urban legend.
I'm going to be in this room right now.
He'll be right back with news. All right, welcome. We've all gone and had a good cry. And
It's literally been 5 seconds. I still feel...
We called an older person to tell us it wasn't real.
Yeah.
I called Henry.
Hey, wait a minute. Tom's older than me.
Let's get to the news. New Star Wars in 2015 is Disney buys Lucasfilm.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Where did that
this
come
was the,
from?
Yeah. Right?
That was the nerdiest thing to happen in a long time.
So nerdy.
Basically, every nerd at work could not work for 2 hours as they thought about
Henry
it.
Actually just, Henry was actually like, I think we should just, like, all nerds should just go home. No one is getting anything done.
This is like
today.
A day of disaster. Like, an act of terror was perpetrated
for
on us.
$4 billion.
Well, I wouldn't say act of terror. I'd say it's a good move, honestly.
Oh, really?
A great act of terror.
We can all right. Well, you give the background, then we can discuss.
Yeah. So $4 billion.
Disney offers a little over $4 billion in cash and stock for Lucasfilm, which includes LucasArts, which makes games.
Industrial Light and Magic, who's just a CG company, right?
Right.
But like one of the. Top
the top, the tip of the shop.
Yeah, and they'll be making Star Wars Episode 7 as of 2015.
And Episode 8 as of 2017, and Episode 9 as of 2019.
Oh boy.
Full-on new trilogy.
So,
2019.
Should we start with the game? Are there game implications
there? Are some. Well, they've said that they're not going to, like, in the investor call they did bring up gaming, they said that...
they said a scary thing with it to me.
Well, they said that LucasArts is not going to be worrying about publishing... games, pretty much, except for mobile stuff. Mm-hmm. But they are going to license out Star Wars stuff, which makes me happy because they didn't license out that much Star Wars
it
stuff.
Seemed like
they
LucasArts,
tried to keep it in-house.
It seems like LucasArts made Star Wars games out of propriety, but like they never seemed to enjoy it that much.
Yeah. So they had the stuff they licensed out was stuff like Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Or
The Old Republic. But for
the
most part, they kept... And Lego.
And then the Force Unleashed stuff they kept in-house. And they're making that... what's
13...
that?
13.
Star Wars 13.
13. Yeah, which they've said... Polygon got in touch with them, and they said, like, yeah, we're just continuing that one. It's already far.
Well, and then in 3 months, they'll say, man, we canceled it.
Yeah, we canceled it.
But they've said that they are going to be licensing out games for Star Wars, so... Sure. Game developers, get your pitches in.
Right.
Well, because, it didn't seem like Disney Interactive has really kind of stepped off of making games that much, too.
Because they're making terrible games that don't sell.
Well, or great games that don't sell.
Right. Like Epic Mickey.
Pure. And Turok.
Turok wasn't a great game.
I know. Yeah. It fit into my definition of a terrible game.
Pure.
Pure, right?
Very good.
Which they're not making anymore.
No, they destroyed that amazing studio.
That Pirates game that they were going to make sounded pretty cool.
It was Fable with boats.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
And then there was a Tron game that was a giant failure.
But they do have a lot of social gaming, Facebook gaming. I think Playdom.
Yep. I know somebody who worked, a former GR employee, Carolyn Goodmanson, works at Playdom now.
That's right.
And they do that Club Penguin thing.
Yep. So they love it. And they also Feed Me Water or whatever. They have a little suite of games, but I like the fact that they're I think LucasArts was hesitant to license out Star Wars games. Mm-hmm. I don't think Disney is going to be hesitant.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be like, well, we don't care. They just make a game because we can make money off of Star Wars.
So here's why I think this is a good thing.
Okay.
Number one, we all agree that George Lucas is poison to Star Wars.
It's true.
He cannot be trusted. George Lucas has good ideas. He is a terrible writer and a terrible director.
He can't help but make his characters, whoever he gets to act in his movies, deliver wood.
He made Ewan McGregor and Christopher Lee.
And Natalie Portman.
And Natalie Portman, all like Academy Award winning actors.
Deliver
and
wood.
Actresses, just do nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's so painful that
Natalie Portman delivered a different kind of wood.
But so, as long as he owned the Star Wars franchise, he was going to keep in. As long as he was going to be in charge of Star Wars, it was always going to be bad.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Basically, I was waiting for him to die and then just give it to his kids and then they'd take care of it and hire good people to make it.
And the people, I already had relatives that were on Facebook like, well, looks like Zac Efron's going to be playing Han Solo. It's like, did you not fucking just bust every nut you could about Avengers?
That was
Joss Whedon
top to bottom
behind a Star Wars film.
How is it that I actually didn't think about that?
I don't know.
He's too involved in Avengers.
What are you talking about? The guy's involved in everything.
You know what they might do? They might let him help. They may let him produce it. He's done well enough with Avengers, and he has enough nerd cred that if they just said he's one of the producers.
Right. I mean, are you telling me that if Joss Whedon was offered Star Wars, he'd turn it down?
No, he would not.
He'd pass Avengers.
Well, also Brad Bird on it would be good too.
There's a lot of rumors.
Anyway, this opens up a million possibilities that were never open as long as George Lucas was in charge of Star Wars. That's why I think it's good. And also, Lucas hoarded out the Star Wars characters so bad over the last decade that Disney can't possibly hoard them out more.
And Disney, think about when you see Mickey Mouse in something, it's still surprising enough, despite the fact that they put him in everything.
Right.
Like, they know how to treat characters and licenses better than anyone else.
Epic Mickey,
that's not even their fault. They gave that to the guy who made Deus Ex and said, make us a fucking Epic Mickey game, and then it's not their fault he failed.
Yeah.
Like, imagine
it could be their fault. I mean, they could have just gotten in his way.
I don't know. If they made a Star Wars game that was like, we're going to make a Star Wars game that's, we're handing it to Deus Ex, like something like that,
yeah.
I don't think anyone would have been like, oh, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It would be cool to see Junction Point make a Star Wars game.
Right?
But, no, it wouldn't. I don't want to see Junction Point making any games at this point.
I think we don't know how Epic Mickey 2 is going to turn out, guys. All we know is that Epic Mickey 1 on the Wii, maybe the only problem was they made a Wii game and they should have been making a real gen
game.
That's true. Yeah, you never know.
So, Tom,
you're not so happy about this.
Tom's not happy about something. So one thing I can't say is Disney probably could do a better Jar Jar Binks, just because that's kind of in their wheelhouse. The other thing is, I think this is more interesting from the film perspective than the game's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because where would they go? What does anybody know the lore after Star Wars Episode VI?
Well, yes, but at the same time,
but it's complicated.
I mean, some Star Wars games have taken place there. The Jedi Outcast, Jedi Academy games all took place post Episode VI.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that part of Disney's thing, they essentially said fuck the expanded universe.
Oh, really?
They're like, we're not going to let that dictate what we do.
Oh, interesting.
The fact that George Lucas allowed anybody who wrote him a letter to write a book.
Is that true, though? I thought everything that was in the books was canonical.
It all goes through him, and he puts a stamp on it, says, yeah, this counts, but...
But look at what he did to the original, the prequels. Like, he couldn't even be trusted with what should and shouldn't be canonical.
No. Well, in the prequels, they undid lots of stuff that were in other books just because he wanted to.
Retcon.
Yeah. George Lucas would do whatever he wants.
I have a feeling that you're going to see within the next, probably early next gen, you're going to hear rumblings about them licensing out the Jedi blank, like Jedi Academy. They're going to bring back
that
universe.
Totally awesome if that happened because I loved both of those games.
Yeah.
Academy, now there was
three of them.
But do you think
Dark Forces was the first in the series?
Do you think the movies will have Luke Skywalker?
No.
I think it will.
The rumors right now.
You got to, like, one thing that LucasArts does do, and I think, or Lucasfilm would do, is the fan service bit. I think while Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are still alive, I'm sure.
So the rumors around right now are that the seat that, and it's, I mean, like, you know how Lucas for years has been saying, like, I never planned them to just be three movies. I planned nine movies. He's had the plot for these other three movies written for some odd 20
years. Since, like, 85 or something.
And he's shown a few select people and stuff.
They probably were like, this is garbage. Oh, my God.
I was reading that people who had seen it said that it was the most action-oriented of them, of all the movies that he had worked on, and that it also had probably the most interesting story. And it takes – I've heard that it takes place, like, 100 years or so. Like, it takes place far enough out that it's not going to involve – they'll be mentioned. You'll probably see kids at some point.
Do you think they'll do like a Leonard Nimoy Star Trek?
Oh, I sure fucking hope not. Actually, they might do like a CG or like a
what about Force Ghosts?
No, I was gonna say like a hologram.
Or a hologram.
Just do a hologram.
Oh man, just imagine R2-D2 and 3PO will still be there, and then R2 shoots out a hologram of old Leia and Luke talking.
That'd be pretty badass.
Old Leia and Luke. Leia's drinking and talking about how much coke she did on the set.
Right.
Luke's talking about his motorcycle accident and how much he likes to do a Joker impression.
Poor Mark Hamill. He was such a handsome person before that accident.
But I still think it's a good news. It's good news overall because, I mean, if you told me a week ago we were going to get more Star Wars movies, I would have been excited but super skeptical. This is the only thing that you could be like, by the way, we're getting new Star Wars movies, and Lucas isn't actually that involved. I'm all fucking in. I thought we were done with Star Wars for essentially my life.
Yep.
I thought an episode 7 would never happen.
Or we,
one
I
of
expected,
those things never.
Remember
will
the rumors a while ago that Lucas was like, I might just reboot it.
Yeah, and or do a stupid CG. TV show.
Okay, that TV show sounded awesome. People said it was like Deadwood with bounty hunters. I was ready for that TV show.
Okay, let's move on. So I don't know how much time you want to spend on this, but Grand Theft Auto 5. Has been confirmed for spring 2013.
Yes, it has.
Pre-orders are open as of November 5th.
Yes.
Oh, wow. May I suggest that spring means May, because the last three GTA Rockstar games
spring
have been May.
Technically, actually, no. GTA 4 was April.
Okay, that was April, but Red
Dead...
But
aside from that one! Well,
no, but Red Dead was May, L.A. Noire was May, Max Payne was May.
It will be in either April or May.
Yeah.
It won't be March. March
or
is too packed as
June,
it is.
There is a bit of spring in June.
Nah, they like to be ahead of
E3. Yeah. But anyway.
Not that they pay any fucking attention to E3, but they
that's like how little they pay attention to it. They don't even want to be in the same month as it.
Yeah, it sounds like the tide of information on GTA 5 is going to be coming out as of November 5th. What's that?
Cover today? No,
I don't even know what
today
is.
No, it'll be next
November 1st is today.
Yeah. Cover
how
story?
The hell is it November?
I know.
Cover story for Game Informer next month. And you don't have to buy that, though, because we'll have all of it also.
Yeah, come
right,
on.
Right, we will rip as much information out of that as we possibly
so
can.
So here's the thing. They're going to write, they're a magazine, so they'll write like a 12-page spread. You did magazines, Ryan. That's like 50 words?
Yeah, that's about
50,
right.
75 words?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to at least double that within the first day.
Probably.
So yeah, the dam is about to break.
First image on the gallery.
There's been like nothing for, what, a year about GTA 5?
Almost.
And now finally something about that game. Yeah. I'm very excited for it.
GTA 5 was announced like a few months after I started, so yeah.
Also, it's got to come out before, you know, it's got to beat next gen also, since it's current gen. If it comes out in the fall when one has to assume a PS4 or at least Xbox 720 will be out, that makes you think that they gotta beat that then.
On a side note, I still don't think we're getting those. We haven't heard a fucking word.
I
don't expect Sony and Microsoft to go to E3 and be like, we're announcing our systems and you can get them in 3 months.
Hmm.
That's never fucking happened.
I can see Microsoft doing it. I think they would do it.
If we
Sony moves slow as molasses.
We'd get an announcement at CES.
We're not getting an announcement at CES. Microsoft has backed out of CES.
When are they going to announce the 360?
I bet they'll just have a bunch of little investor calls and winks and nods up to E3.
Actually, I don't even think it needs to be at E3. I think they'll do it probably
Microsoft Direct
at their own event in April.
Well, the 360 was revealed on an MTV special hosted by Elijah Wood. It was not.
Yeah. I remember that.
I think E3 and all that stuff is very much downplayed as far as because Microsoft, to a large extent, doesn't have the control that they would like. In like they want to completely control the message, the timing, and everything, and they don't want all this other noise happening.
The last few gens, people would announce something,
and then
like a year later.
No, I mean, a lot has changed in the next.
I know. Yeah. I just don't see a lot has changed, and people can't keep secrets. So the idea that 360s are a year away, or 720s and PS4s, like the fact that they're not going to have that. Here's the system. we're talking about the specs and not showing you or naming what it is, and we're going to name it next year, and then it's going to come out a few months. Like, the fact that that hasn't even happened yet makes me skeptical.
That's true, but I don't know. I would expect in – here's another reason I think, like, in, like, March maybe – like, Steve Ballmer will just call, like, a big thing.
Hi,
like,
I'm Steve Ballmer!
Jesus Christ, you scared the shit out of me.
My Steve Ballmer. And, good. I did
well, here's,
well,
here's also...
I'm all freaked out from that fucking Urban Legend.
And I don't think they'll...
I literally jumped when you did that.
And they've... Have you... You've seen how they present the Xbox at non-E3 things. They always have, like, here's all the things it does that aren't video games. Mm-hmm. So by... revealing it not at E3, that further has them going like, see how this isn't a video game system, guys? It does all this shit.
Yeah.
Then at E3, then they can expand on video games.
But then there's Sony, who still plays stuff like they did like 15 years ago, who usually spends like 3 years pumping up.
Well, but Ken Kutaragi is gone now, and he was a big part of that.
All right. I'm just saying.
Sony has been humbled.
I'm not as... sure of a next gen next year as everyone else.
I don't think Sony can afford to start a next gen next year, but they also
can't.
You want
to talk about Sony real quick?
Yeah.
Because they released their financials this week, and apparently slowing hardware sales dragged down Sony's gaming sales for the second quarter of 2012.
Their gaming sales had been like their best thing at Sony for
well,
like.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, not
I mean,
their
still,
best thing.
It's still a small part. The company's game division brought in $1.85 billion, which
that's
is
like
down.
That's half of Star Wars.
It's down 14% year over year. Mm. And so sales of the PS2, or no, sales from, wait, combined sales of the PS2 and PS. Why did Connor do combined sales? I got to talk to that boy. combined sales.
Connor, call
4.9.
Tom. Call your father. He has to yell at you.
They shrank to 3.5 million from 4.9 million, which probably most of that was PS3, because who the fuck's buying a PS2 at this point?
Can you buy a PS2?
Probably in, like, Brazil or some other.
I don't think even in Japan you can buy a PS2 anymore.
Software sales grew 41.4 million. Hmm. So... hardware sales are declining.
And to the point where maybe it's worth... maybe they'll announce it soon. Maybe it'll be coming within a month or two.
That is an indication that hardware is around the corner. I don't think the same can be said for Microsoft. They continue...
they keep dropping the price.
Yeah.
Sony announced the PS3 slimmer and didn't drop the price.
That's true. Also, this week was the worst ever sales for the Vita in Japan in a week, which apparently happens every week is the worst sales. But this week it was 5,000 per week, and to put that into perspective, the 3DS sold 60,000 units that week, more than 10
Although
to 1.
They are projecting that portable hardware sales will rise from 12 million.
Is Persona out yet in Japan?
Yeah, it was out already. That was their biggest. That was their big sales spike, and now they've got. They're not excited about Assassin's Creed 3 Lady Liberty, as it's called there.
Is it really?
It's really. It's Lady
That's a better
Liberty
name. I like that name.
I just realized that I read that wrong. It's revised from 12 million to 10 million, so they revised it down.
Oh, I see. Well, that's also bad.
Shockingly enough, the PS Vita is not selling as well as they thought.
What?
Though I bought one this week because I'm a stupid dummy.
And Lucas bought a PS3 this week.
What?
Our office, yeah.
How did he not own a PS3?
Lucas is a silly, silly boy.
Yeah. He is a silly
it's
boy.
It's just part of the JLB.
Yeah, well, he has one now.
Well,
you just bought a Vita. You don't have that much.
Come on. Who needs a Vita?
You, apparently.
I don't even need
one. And 5,000 Japanese people last week.
Let me tell you guys out there, you don't need a Vita. They suck.
Oh,
I say that as a Vita. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Well, I'm not.
Hard words.
Has actually told me, man, I love the Vita.
It looks amazing in my hand, but then last night. When
what
I
else
was...
looks amazing in your hand, Finner?
But then last night when I was starting
Let
up,
me count
I was
the
like,
things.
What should I play? And what I started playing were PS1 games. So
no, there's been some good PS1
I'll play
PS1
Gravity
games.
Fall on it.
Gravity Rush?
Whatever.
Sound Shape?
It's Gravity Falls in... no, wait, that's
Gravity
my new favorite
Days.
Cartoon
it is.
Show.
So,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Notable...
I love the show Gravity Falls.
Yeah,
Such
one
fun.
Other notable financial report hands. This week is EA. Medal of Honor Warfighter is going to sell less than they thought it would.
How much? Did they give any actual estimates?
No, they didn't.
Because Battlefield sold well, and Medal of Honor 2010 sold okay. Yeah.
Well, Battlefield 3 was like a mega blockbuster. Like it was, it's probably one of the best-selling games EA's had all decade.
So, I know we don't actually have a review on the podcast of Medal of Honor because no one in house has actually put that much time into it.
No, I finished it.
Oh,
I did.
Well, we'll talk about it soon. Never mind, we'll talk about it soon. I forgot about that.
But EA did also say that FIFA had its best year ever, shipping 7.4 million units in its first 4 weeks.
That seems like a good idea, good reason to bring in Sterling.
Pretty solid.
Let's bring in Sterling to talk about FIFA.
Okay, cool.
Keep talking. Talk.
Oh, I have other news too. That Resident Evil sales like came out this, or the Resident Evil 6, like Capcom said it had sold like what four? No, they shipped 6 million. They thought they shipped 7, but they shipped 6.
They thought they shipped. That's the
that
story
seems like
of
something
Capcom's
I want to know.
How much? Oh, I don't even know, buddy.
Oh, it was backwards. They thought
they said Operation Raccoon City, which got terrible reviews everywhere. Like it's been one of their best sellers all year.
Are you serious?
Everybody the consumers are loving it. It's crazy.
God. I don't think the consumers are actually. The consumers were duped, is what it is.
That game
is
not
fun. Anyway, to get back to FIFA, we bring in Sterling McGarvey. Sterling,
hey.
How are you doing?
Hello, everybody.
Does it shock you that FIFA sold 7.4 million units in its first 4 weeks?
Is that worldwide or North America?
Probably worldwide.
I'm guessing that's worldwide, yeah.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're busy doing other stuff. Yeah, my brain's kind of frazzled. That doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, at this point, that's probably their biggest moneymaker outside of, at least in North America, there's Madden, but at this point, it's leapfrogging every other sports title. It's a huge moneymaker for them.
Very true.
People love soccer around the world.
Yes.
But anyway, Sterling is leaving us.
Yes.
Which we brought you in to talk about.
Yes. I'm leaving.
Should I continue talking, or would you like to
continue talking? I don't want to quite say where I'm going yet. I don't want to leave people.
You just want to give a good little goodbye.
Thank you. Seriously. Thank you to the GamesRadar community. You guys have been fantastic during my tenure here. It's been great. You know, even if I'm not necessarily always super participatory, I've always been reading your comments, keeping up with what you guys have to say. Good feedback, bad feedback. I will never forget the 24-hour charity gaming marathon. And
good times.
Yeah, and me and Henry playing Metal Gear and singing the Sailor Moon theme for $5.
Very nice.
All for the kids.
Oh, my God. You did do that for $5.
I totally did that for $5.
Wow. Well, it helped us stay awake.
Did they actually pay up?
Yeah, oh, they totally paid.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, it was fine. It was
Have loved it if they were like, oh, I'll give you $5 for that. And they're like, psych!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just wanted to see you guys sing Sailor Moon, lol. No. They totally paid up. So, very big of them. Magnanimous. It's amazing, you know, our community, just gamers in general, how giving and awesome they are.
Yeah.
Totally. So thank you very much. Yeah. And you can't say, you don't want to say where you're going yet?
I'll make that announcement when the time comes.
All right. Well, you can follow him as he leaves and goes to Polygon.
Well, yeah. What's his? What if people did want to follow you?
Irony being that I live around the corner from Arthur Geese. But
yeah. Well, if people did want to follow you, what's your Twitter again?
It is @Sterling_M, where you will see me tweeting incessantly over the next 7 days about the MLS playoffs. Speaking of FIFA, Blue November.
Who's your gun? Your main guy?
San Jose Earthquakes. That's
my
team.
I could have picked that one up.
Yes.
Are they the closest soccer? I don't fucking know anything. I'm not even going to try to have a conversation about it.
I know about David Beckham's team.
There's like a soccer ball in there.
The Los Angeles
right?
Galaxy douchebags. Yes.
That is man, true. Those douchebags.
I mean, it's.
Fuck them! Fuck them!
I mean, that's what I was singing in the stands during the game. Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much. No, we don't have to go into that rant. Besides that, how many people on this podcast, like, not you guys included, in the audience, how many people really give a shit about that stuff?
About two people.
Shit, two?
Two.
That's jarring.
Well,
one
of them is you.
Yeah.
Oh. That means you think I actually like listening to the sound of my own voice.
Right.
I've been podcasting for years. I'd never listen to the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of mine either.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, though, for your service to the GamesRadar brand.
Indeed.
Yes. We will now be taking you out behind the building.
And planting you.
Right. I will be doing my best to fight this off, but if you don't see any tweets from me and my last words are, let's go at San Jose Earthquakes, exclamation mark, exclamation pow, then you know what happened to me.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, guys. No, it is legit. It's been a pleasure.
And from here, we are going to transition into reviews after this short break.
All right, segment three. Sterling has left the podcast room, but not the building. And we're going to jump right into reviews. Let's start with Medal of Honor, because we just referenced it recently.
Medal of Honor.
Fight Warrior.
You played it. The Fight Warrior.
Yeah.
This game came in well below. I don't know if it's well below expectations.
So here's the thing
I'd say it did.
Yeah.
The first one got okay reviews.
Yeah, I think people were like, Medal of Honor, they had their, you know, opening salvo, and this is the one, you know, they have this very intense competition.
I expected it to be like the Assassin's Creed 2 of the Medal of Honor. I like the first one, but I'm like, it's flawed, but
Greg
Goodrich, the producer on it.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he has a good sense about gaming from having conversations and interviews and stuff. So I'm like, he's going to pull it together this time.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Look, so, I mean, this game got destroyed across the board. Yep. I mean, almost everywhere was like, this game is one. I mean, once I was even said, like, this is the worst fucking game I've ever played. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's not that bad.
Yeah. I've played some broken-ass games.
Yeah, so here's the problem with Warfighter. You know, it's kind of been built upon this pillar of authenticity. Like, this is the real deal. This is what our troops face every day, the Tier 1 guys. And, like, maybe that is, but I guess it doesn't equate necessarily into fun gameplay, right? So it's like, and then another problem, like, it almost plays itself at times. Because in the very first mission, you're in the dark and you're like, oh, we got to shoot that truck. But if you don't shoot the truck, the shit still blows up and everything happens, even if you don't participate. Mm-hmm. And there are missions that have, like, almost the entire thing. There's this one that you're on, like, a machine gun on the back of this boat as you're going through a sinking city. And you don't have to shoot the gun at all. You'll get through the mission just fine.
So it's like they're in their pursuit for authenticity. They're like, oh, yeah, well, you're actually with a couple other dudes. And
in their pursuit of authenticity, they forgot to kind of make the game fun at times.
But also, like, if you don't shoot the tank, someone else will in your squad.
Yeah, and here the AI is extremely frustrating at times, too, because, like, if you're up on a barricade, if one of your AI teammates was scripted to run to that spot you're hiding in, they barge right up on you and shove you out and then take place. Like, they displace you into the firefight. And so
it's more scripting than AI, almost.
Yeah, and
so how the single-player campaign, is there anything redeeming? Are there any interesting moments?
Well, they keep trying to portray this relationship, like this struggle of one of the main characters, Preacher, and between like his duty for the loyalty he has to his family and also to his country, and how that is kind of straining that relationship. Mm-hmm. And they do that through these like CGI scenes, and they're kind of neat, but at the same time, the character models are really fucking weird. The lady models are very goddamn creepy looking, I should note. But yeah, you know, it just kind of doesn't succeed in what it's trying to do. There are times you're like, okay, I kind of feel for what's going on here. But then it's so confusing. The narrative is like there's flashbacks and flash forwards and flash sideways, and you never know which one's which, and it's like confusing as shit.
Are you seeing any potential in this franchise at this point?
Not really. I mean, honestly, it's
just a shame because I saw some in the first.
It like, just seems redundant at this point.
Well, yeah, we have Call of Duty and we have Battlefield, and when both of those do everything that Medal of Honor does way better, why?
See, I think this only exists because EA was trying to hedge their bets. Like, so they made the first one, and they're like, well, we don't know how good Battlefield 3 is going to perform. Just start working on this sequel now, so we'll have it ready the year after Battlefield 3 in case we need a different military shooter. Mm-hmm. Then Battlefield 3 was huge, as we talked about. Like, and so now they have this sequel they finished that they don't need.
Well, I will say, though, the multiplayer is actually, like, pretty good, and they focused around these two-man fire teams, which are essentially, like, smaller versions of Battlefield squads. Mm-hmm. And that really, the way, like, because you can do so many things to interact with your partner that generates more points for you and for your team as a whole. So it's, like, it really does promote team play in a way that that the other games kind of don't. But at this, and I do think that long term it will retain at least a small enough audience to where you can hop in and not worry about servers being empty.
So I get the sense that Medal of Honor, EA, basically what I'm getting is EA executives are like, we need, like, we have Battlefield 3. Battlefield 3 is a wildly different game than Call of Duty.
Right.
We need a direct Call of Duty
competitor. It's Call of Duty on the Frostbite engine, except not as good as Call of Duty.
Right. So their goal is to make a Call of Duty game.
Mm-hmm. And that, and it plays largely like that, except
but at
it
the
just
same time,
of...
they're trying to pretend it's authentic.
Right.
Or at least, I mean, not even pretend. They're trying to make it a more authentic experience, which they legitimately, I mean,
and
Call
do.
Of Duty doesn't even bother. With,
right.
And it's not to a detriment, but they're like, fuck it. We want, if we want a scope that shoots bees, we're going to make a scope that shoots.
So it is more,
and
it's more authentic in the sense like there aren't as many giant, huge explosions and crazy shit happening. But that's kind of what makes Call of Duty fun, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this may again be stuff that is more realistic and authentic, but it's just kind of not as fun.
I have my suggestion. Yeah. I think they can say a random sports thing. But did anyone play the? I think EA made it, or maybe it was Midway, but they made almost like a Blitz except baseball. Called, like, the Bigs.
Oh, I love the Bigs. Right,
so
right.
The Bigs
is great.
Was, like, nothing that happened in the Bigs couldn't happen in baseball. It
the
was
big.
Just, like, it was, like, every play was the play that happens once a season.
Exactly.
Like, the guy jumping and making a ridiculous catch, or the hit smashing into the scoreboard and smashing the lights.
I mean,
they
got,
need to do that.
They've
like,
got NBA Jam, NHL Hits.
Sure, but NBA Jam is, like, shit lighting on fire.
FIFA Street,
like,
something like that.
The Bigs was, like, this is all stuff that tech that has happened.
Yeah.
Except we're making it happen nonstop. They need to do that with this. Like, well, technically, someone has held off 30 people with a machine gun. This is technically possible.
So
like
they
a greatest
to be all Osama bin Laden raids.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there are Osama bin Laden raids in that game, right?
It'll
isn't
be
the last
well,
mission in bin Laden. The pretty
no,
much
no, that's going to be in a DLC. Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, remember when there was like those Somali pirates, and then like those
there are
is
a Somali pirates like, mission, which is completely
like, no. Let me tell the story because it's awesome. They like skydived in and then like sniped all these guys at once on a boat.
Yeah, basically you do that, except...
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well,
so I want more of that.
It's completely unrelated to the entire... All of the other missions that you've done, but... Oh, Medal of Honor does have incredible door breaching because it makes a minigame out of it knowing that they're going to use so many door breaches.
Really?
Where you have a radio wheel of how you want to breach this door, and you first can only kick it for a flashbang, and when it's the slow motion shooting time, if you hit 4 headshots, you unlock the next door breach.
Uh-oh.
And there's like 10 of them, and each one...
So is this like Rainbow Six style?
They're just completely cosmetic.
Okay.
And each one is slower than the last, so by the time you're using the final door breach, you're spending like a solid 10 seconds breaching a door.
Wow. I love door breaches, so yeah. I don't give a flying
This is
anything.
Why Baird is your man.
He is. Baird that's true. Baird loves door breaches. He loves breaching doors in general.
Hmm.
So, what did you give it? For who did you review it?
I reviewed it for AtGamer, and I gave it 3 ats out of 5 ats.
Okay,
I love
so
how they use ats. That's
they're
so
impossible to read and decipher, but whatever.
That's fine. 3 out of 5. I like how you do quarter scores too. So it's like, oh, I gave it 2 1/4 ats. So like the quarter
I gave it
at
half an ampersand.
The quarter at doesn't look. You can barely see it.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's yeah.
All impossible. Right, so. Next other review would be WWE 13.
Yeah, speaking of radial menus, that also has...
Henry, I feel like you've been talking about this game ever since I started working here.
Well,
like,
I've been
this
to...
This the yeah, game
very
that
likely.
I associate with Henry Gilbert.
I've been to several preview events for it. I am the wrestling guy here. So, you know, Cooper, you played it too. But
yeah.
I this has gotten a lot of high praise. I would call it the... best wrestling game THQ's put out in about 6 years. But
that feels so qualified.
It is
like,
a...
it's the best game. No, it's the best wrestling game that... Oh, no, the best wrestling
well,
game
okay, actually,
THQ
no.
has made. Oh.
Wrestling games in general for the past 5 years have not been great.
Yeah, yeah.
So, though some people like All-Stars. I didn't like All-Stars.
I liked All-Stars.
So this one, it's basically the same controls that were in WWE 12. The graphics are better. It's got a few new features. Cool online.
A
but
few new glitches.
Some glitches. There's always going to be glitches, but the best part about it is the attitude mode. It
right.
goes back to many people's
era.
Yeah, many people's favorite era of pro wrestling, the late 90s, to the attitude era when Stone Cold and The Rock and Mankind were the biggest stars around.
My brief interest in wrestling.
Everyone's
was
brief
time.
Interest.
That was when I was in high school, uh-huh. and I was like hanging out at my grandparents' place after school. I'd sleep over there, and there was nothing else to do but watch WWE Attitude Era.
Yeah,
WWF. WWF, right.
But yeah, so the point of WWE versus F does sort of gum up the works slightly in attitude mode that they...
They actually use archived audio.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to bleep every time they say WWF.
Are you serious?
They have,
wow.
Yeah.
This is the craziest thing that's ever happened in the WWE. No, it's just... it's
like, well, the same with...
Why did they have to bleep it?
Because they lost the rights because of government favoritism towards the World Wildlife Fund, despite the fact that Vince McMahon's WWF was around for longer and had been using it more commonly.
Is this why Linda McMahon is running for government now?
Nah, she's just a crazy Republican.
She is a crazy-ass Republican.
And it's likely she will win, it's looking like. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Her cabinet is full of, like, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Though, you see...
Governor, what do you think about this issue? Well, it doesn't matter what you think!
Well, so that's another problem with the Attitude Mode, though, is that... So Stone Cold was the man of the Attitude Era.
Sure he wasn't.
His thing...
Sure he wasn't. The Rock was.
They were pretty much...
The People's Champion!
I'd put them on the same level.
Pretty sure it was Mankind, actually.
Well, my point is, with Stone Cold, his thing is to flip the bird and swear all the time. This is a T-rated game. You do, but it's censored. You flip the censored bird.
Which I'm fine with, because that's how I saw it most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes he'd sneak it onto regular TV.
I know, it was fun.
God, I'm just getting excited thinking about all of those archived photos in my head.
So here's what the game... Here's my issue with the game, though. Mm-hmm. So it'll take you and be like, yo, remember that fight where Stone Cold... went, like, dragged Kane over to the announcer table and then stunned him on the table. You have to do that. it doesn't matter how long it takes you. You have to do that.
Drop it's a just like,
oh, okay. Yeah. And then, like, there are some times where it's like, I'll be like, I don't, like, my guy has two finishers. I don't remember how to do which one. It's like, well, you better figure it out. Otherwise, you're just going to be doing the rock bottom over and over again.
Yeah.
You're never going to do, like, the Samoan somersault or whatever the fuck he's
doing. That's always been a problem.
Samoan drop, isn't it?
Yeah, Samoan drop. But that is the problem, even for me coming back to it every year when I pick it up again for the first time in, like, 9 months. I played, I'm like, I don't remember. You have to remember every wrestler's finisher because they're context sensitive. You have to be in the right position to do your finisher. You can't just do it whenever. So
that's how it's done in real wrestling.
Yeah, but if you're you know,
you
in a tag
people's elbow in the
if you're in a tag match and you maybe wanted to play as Chris Jericho, but you don't remember you need to have the guy standing to do the code breaker, or you need to have a guy down on the ground to do a lion salt. You
or the
aren't
rings
going
of
to find that out.
Right. But isn't it the Wall of Jericho? What is it?
The Walls of Jericho.
Oh,
that's right.
Y2J.
But I most of those...
I love the Attitude Era. So
most of those specific...
Welcome to Laser Time, everyone.
Most of those specific things are... most of those things are optional objectives that they don't make very clear, which is like, beat up Mr. McMahon like it happened back then. But when did that happen? I don't remember. Like, fortunately, we have a guide for that guy. It's just
on the website. They also jump around time a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot, and they'll also like we don't have that many interesting Stone Cold missions. So you'll be like three Stone Cold missions, and then all of a sudden it'll be like you should play as like the Dudley Boys.
It'll be like
you should play as like the Road Dog. In this one fight. It's like, why the fuck am I playing as the Road Dog?
Yeah.
That's one other thing about it. So it has the biggest roster ever in a THQ WWE anyway. Over 100 characters, many from the Attitude Era, including obscure dudes like Gangrel and...
Val Venus is DLC.
Val Venus. Yeah, Val Venus is DLC. As is, Gold Dust is exclusive DLC.
His shtick was sleeping with the wives of the people he fought.
Oh, right. I remember that.
Until a Japanese man cut off his pee-pee.
That's one of them. Yeah. Well, anyway, they have all those guys, but they don't have some people who are currently feuding with WWE and would never sign over their rights to him, or
like
people internally hate WWE, like Kurt Angle, who is the biggest star at TNA Wrestling, their only competitor, really. He's not in it. China is not in it because she's a train wreck, but she was a major part of that era.
When I heard the trur, I thought you were going a different angle with that.
Oh,
I'm really
come
happy
on
you
now.
Didn't.
She's
I'm
all
really
woman.
Happy
she's all woman.
You know. You've seen those photos online, too.
No.
Videos.
No. Videos. Excuse me.
A few of those people, like, and the Dudley Boys, too, they're at TNA. They're not in it. So it is missing some folks like that, but not a ton.
No,
but
and it also the thing that I'll say is my favorite thing about it, and it's almost the most obscure praise possible, but take any other game that's like that, where characters will, like, stand around and talk.
Yeah.
it looks almost like the voices are disembodied voices and they're just acting it out. The way they animated those characters and mixed the sounds, they're taking archival audio and making you legitimate. Like, it sounds like it was recorded just for this scene.
Wow.
And they're performing it. Like, the animations are great. Like, it looks like the faces match up perfectly. So much better than I expected. And as somebody who watched wrestling exclusively during the Attitude Era, yeah. It was so nostalgic to be like, I remember watching that. Oh,
that's
my
cool.
God.
Yeah.
And they also don't shy away from, like, things that I thought they'd shy away from.
Right,
like, there's people, whenever, like, somebody does a gigantic slam off, like, through a table, they'll start chanting ECW.
Oh, yes.
And people have,
I
like, Vince is afraid
that's
of
awesome.
NWO
ECW
signs.
The other wrestling that I
watch. They'll constantly reference WCW.
That's awesome.
No, it's great. It's, yeah, so I would say.
I hate it that this game is good. Because I really don't like wrestling games because I find them boring.
I also don't care about spoiling things about this, but they put in, like, storylines that I never would have expected them to put in, including the Montreal Screwjob.
I don't remember that one.
Where Vince McMahon
said, Vince McMahon told Brett he would not lose in the ring.
Like,
and
legit,
then,
like, all, like, behind the scenes.
Behind
like,
the scenes,
yo, you're
like,
not going to lose. This is your hometown.
Brett didn't want to lose. It was one of his last matches. He's like, I don't want to lose in Montreal. I'm a Canadian hero. I'm not going to lose. And Vince agreed behind the scenes, yeah, we'll have a disqualification and it'll erupt the match. You won't lose. Then Brett gets put in a pinning, well, no, in a submission position.
In his submission.
In his
he
submission.
He gets sharpshooted by Shawn Michaels.
Then wow. Vince comes down to the ring, shouts, ring the fucking bell. They ring the bell, and then they're like, there, Shawn won. They hand Shawn the belt, and Shawn, like, runs to the back. And then, like, Bret Hart is just standing there, just dumbfounded, like, oh, he can't believe what's just happened.
And then he spits on Vince McMahon's face.
And then later that night, he punches out Vince McMahon in the locker room.
The way they actually present it in the game is like, it's a video game that's pretending wrestling is real, obviously. But there's a scene where it's just behind the scenes of Vince talking to Shawn Michaels. And Shawn's like, I don't care if he doesn't want to play ball. If he doesn't want to do business, we'll do business our own. Like, admitting, yeah, this is all fucking made up. I loved that they did that so much.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you... Just in summary, if you were a fan at that time, if you're an aged fan like
and it
us,
sounds like a pretty good
it's perfect
WWE.
To pick up. And if you're a current WWE fan, it still has all the active wrestlers right now, and it's got Universe Mode to play as those guys. Some people are sad Road to WrestleMania got replaced by Attitude Era this year, but I'm fine with that.
I'm going to get this game, and I'm going to take it home and start playing it, and my wife is just not going to talk to me for a while.
That's fine, because we'll talk to you more.
Yeah.
You can just call us and be like, hey, Henry. How did you beat the level where you play as Kane fighting The Undertaker?
Did you have Gold Dust out? Did you use him?
Is Gold Dust in it? I never got to him.
He is a pre-order bonus. Uh-huh.
Damn it. He should be like the main fucking character.
He's so weird.
What a great jobber he was. So let's move on before we spend the entire podcast talking about wrestling to the major releases this week other than WWE.
Mm-hmm. Did we just really... We just talked about wrestling for 20 minutes.
I was actually going to say, like, we should do this in like 2 minutes.
I loved it. It was the best time I've ever had in this room.
Assassin's Creed 3 came out this week. I played through it in a weekend.
That was an amazing rush.
From the minute I got it until passing out on Sunday. And
not the ideal way to play Assassin's Creed.
No, but I
remember when the original Assassin's Creed came out, there was a lot of ballyhoo. Like, I think this was probably like one of those Penny Arcade controversies. We're like, this game is awesome, and if you're a reviewer, the reason why it's not awesome is because you're just trudging through it in 25 hours.
But that said, I took my time. Yeah. I just played it all day.
Okay.
Like, there are a lot of hours
played
between...
Played it all day because you wanted to.
Yes.
Because you weren't reviewing it.
No, I wasn't reviewing it for anyone. I just wanted to play it because I didn't want it to get spoiled for me and because I love the series. And I actually don't hate grinding through games.
Yeah.
So, played it. I played it at some demo events. I legitimately expected this to be the game of the year. Mm-hmm. I expected it to be a 10 or a 5. And it is not.
Oh.
It's still very good. Mm-hmm. It is a very good game. You play as Connor... who is half Native American in the Revolutionary War.
Half white?
English.
Yes, English. It's all explained. Don't worry. Okay.
And I keep seeing he's half Native American. I'm like, well, what's the other half?
Jamaican.
Right. Could be. I don't know.
But you play through, and there have been so many improvements. The engine is improved. It's a beautiful game.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. They show some levels that are like in rooms full of people. It's ridiculously good looking.
Mm-hmm. The step from Revelations to this one is quite a big one. Much bigger than I expected.
Yeah. It's incredible looking. The character models are much improved. The combat is better, I'd say. It's less...
Yeah.
You're still reversing things, but you can play a little more offensively because you're more on the attack than you were in the last ones. You can just like overpower people because Connor is such a big guy. To tie it back into wrestling, when I saw the game a few months ago, the lead animator for the game, named Jonathan Cooper, it's confusing. Huh. I got a picture with him though. Told me that because he was so much bigger, whereas the last characters they studied agile fighters, they watched like UFC and wrestling footage,
really?
And he actually can like DDT people.
Nice.
And at one point, my character grabbed a guy by the throat and jumped up and slammed him down. Rock and the bottom. Guy who was watching me, he's like, oh, you did the rock bottom. So they didn't technically, air quotes, copy wrestling moves, but they because those wrestling moves are technically patented or trademarked. But he does the rock bottom.
I'm only 2 hours in, and I have seen him do. I've seen a DDT happen.
Yeah, like, so
you saw a people's elbow.
I haven't seen that yet, but I normally don't fight.
Top of a building.
Right. I normally don't fight disarmed in Assassin's Creed anyway, though, so I won't be seeing it that often.
But the gameplay is much improved. But it has a bunch of weird little problems. So the story is interesting. I say the story is interesting, even though it has some problems where it has an issue deciding when it wants to be historically accurate. So minor spoilers, but you're going to do some of those great historical things. So there's Paul Revere's Midnight Ride, except it's just a really boring, realistic, like you're just riding and telling people that the British are coming. But then I think I talked about this on the podcast before, the Boston Tea Party, which in reality was a bunch of guys dressed like Native Americans sneaking onto a boat in the middle of the night and throwing tea off, is instead a horde mode where you and Paul Revere beat the fuck out of some redcoats.
Badass Paul Revere.
Like, it's you, Paul Revere, and I think John Adams or Sam Adams are all just beating up redcoats while other people throw them off. You're all dressed like you are. There's a crowd cheering you on. And at the end, like, the British are like, you. And then you take a box and walk up and put it out and drop it like a badass, like you're Chris Rock dropping the mic. God. And it's like, but they didn't know who did it. Like, they didn't have, like, realistically, they actually, like, only one guy got arrested because he ran his mouth. Like, they were super secretive about this stuff. So it has an issue of, like, balancing when it wants to be.
I just love the idea of, like, Paul Revere with, like, bulging muscles and, like, sabers in both hands.
See, that's the thing. Like, he's not. He
like
looks
his shirt
cool.
ripped open.
But that's
bulging,
the problem.
Chest hair everywhere.
I wish it was like that, but instead it's just, like, normal derpy looking Paul Revere. Just sure, I'm fighting guys.
Well, the opposite would have been had they approached it in a very historically accurate way. Like, everyone would be like, well, that was fucking boring. Why did we do that shit?
I was thinking, we were talking about it earlier. It's like, why not make it like...
I'm going to Google image search Paul Revere.
Paul Revere is the guy on the Sam Adams bottle. They didn't use Sam Adams because he's ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, but like, imagine if it was like, we're going to do this.
Kind of
make sure no guards come. And then every so often a guard will see you and you have to do like a chase through the streets and take him down. Or you have to go around clearing out guards. Like, there are other ways it could have been done.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was a distraction from doing an assassin. Like, there are so many better ways than treating it like a horde
mode. Just in my mind picturing Connor dressed up going into a boat, press circle to pick up this crazy
Then don't make him do it. He wasn't there. We know who was there.
Yeah.
He is Forrest Gump's brilliance is in not making him the actual person that does the things.
And
he's
that's
just,
central to it.
He's everything. Just there. And that's how Connor should have been. But there are too many times where it's just like, quick, Connor, you do this important thing. That's not as bad, though, as the fact that it's really glitchy sometimes.
Really?
There are missions that I thought that I was like, I had an issue with this. Maybe other people didn't. There's a part where you have to, like, free three slaves around a dock and you're dressed like a redcoat.
Uh-huh.
Being dressed like a redcoat doesn't help you in the slightest. Okay. Everyone sees you immediately. Mm-hmm. And most people I've talked to, it took them at least 15 to 20 tries to do it.
There was a day one patch for it, which is never a great sign. But even after I patched it, like, I'm only in sequence 3, so, but like in the sequence 2, I kill somebody and his gun drops and the gun hangs in the air. Like,
yeah,
I just walk by the
gun. I know
and go
exactly
like,
where that is too. Like, it's a repeatable bug. And then there's other times where it's like there are other bugs that are just funny.
Uh-huh.
Like, there was one time where I'm swimming on the frontier and I see someone sitting on a rock. And when I got close, he looked at me and got startled and dove into the water. And I never saw him again.
He drowned in that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the bugs aren't the endearing type that you get in Skyrim.
No, some of them are. Okay. But then there's other ones, like my axe disappeared. Like that axe that's on the cover of the game with the Assassin's Creed, it just went away. Other problems are like the game got so, prequels, or the predecessors, they're not actually prequels, got so bloated by just adding new features. So they added tower defense in Revelations and the Brotherhood system where you could call assassins to help you and send them on missions in Brotherhood and again in Revelations. Mm-hmm. This game doesn't have the tower defense thing, but it has that full Brotherhood system, mm-hmm. and they never talk about it. And it wasn't until I was near the end of the game that I realized by digging through menus, you can send people on missions.
Wow.
That's the only way I found it. That's
weird. Well, and it's so disappointing, too. Like Henry had mentioned earlier, this was like this was the Assassin's Creed A team. Like, this was the big team.
Yeah, this was the team that had made Assassin's Creed 2 and then spent the following... Like, game development has gotten to a two-year development cycle. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's just how it is. Ubisoft was like, we want to make Assassin's Creed 3 bigger, so let's give the team 3 years and then have other teams do games in the meantime.
Right.
And like, it didn't end up working.
Yeah, it's funny that the B teams made really great. Like, Brotherhood, I prefer to Assassin's Creed.
Brotherhood is
too.
The best Assassin's Creed game. Not in terms of story, but in terms of gameplay and everything else. Yeah. And it's the least buggy. And this one, for some reason, the multiplayer is a lot better. They improved that a lot. But the gameplay is just missing something. And without spoiling the ending, I'll say, as someone who admits to loving the end of Mass Effect 3 and enjoying the end of Battlestar Galactica and not even hating the Star Wars prequels as much as everyone else, I was disappointed.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to YouTube this and spoil it for myself at some point.
I'm going to try to... I got to beat it this weekend then to see this ending.
Take back Assassin's Creed, you guys. Hashtag take back. Call the FTC.
And the ending clarification DLC... coming out,
it wouldn't help.
I'm
not saying skip it though, because there's some shit that they've kept secret this whole time, and not just the things that people in this room who've played it a little bit know. There's like four or five major how the fuck is this still secret moments that are worth playing through, and the entire game is good. There are some missions. There's that one I talked about. There's another one where you have to chase somebody on the docks. It's right near the end of the game. Took me about 30 tries. There are some really, really bad parts, but a majority of the game is really fun. I didn't like it as much as 2 or Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best Assassin's Creed by far, but if I were to review it, I would give it the same score that we did give it, which is a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow making Assassin's Creed 3 below XCOM and Dishonored for the best games of October.
Shocking.
And on the topic of slightly disappointing Assassin's Creed games.
Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation for the Vita, which I had such high hopes for. And it's just okay. It's a fully functional Assassin's Creed game. Plays exactly like you'd expect. Except
female assassin, right?
Female assassin, Aveline de Grand Prix. She is...
De Grand Prix?
Something like that, except she says it all French-like, and I don't know
de
how to
Grand
do that.
De Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. So she's...
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to everybody in France that is listening to us right now.
That series of noises that just happened was horrifying.
Everybody in the room farted at once.
So Aveline,
you're welcome.
Aveline is the daughter of a wealthy French merchant and also his slave. So she has to the main draw of the game is like they're always pushing this persona system where you can dress up in these three different outfits that give you kind of different abilities. So there's just her regular assassin's outfit. There's her dressed up as a lady of nobility and what they call the slave persona.
Which, for the record, they called the worker up until release.
Yeah, it is called the slave persona.
Boy.
So the assassins...
They're not shying away from it. I like that. I do like that.
Which is kind of a cool idea, and I wish that they'd allow you to use these more freely, because most of the time a mission tells you, you have to be dressed up as this particular thing, and you can't change your outfits, and it's just really annoying. Like, when you're playing as the lady, you can only walk, and you only have access to, like, the hidden blades, and you can't climb buildings at all. It's like half the fun of the Assassin's Creed game is just parkouring. It's
maybe that's
like,
a...
You just don't have access to it.
Maybe they're trying to make a bigger point about how restrictive society could be towards women.
Whatever, that's not fucking fun at all.
It's not fun for women either, Ryan. Have some respect.
God. I get the parallels, but man. But one of the big problems I had with it is the story just makes no sense. It's all over the place, and you never know what the fuck is going on or why you're doing anything. Aveline's an interesting character, but I have no idea what her motivations are ever. And there's just no sense of historical importance to the world at all.
Do you kill gators?
I killed one. I found one alligator during my entire playthrough, and that was the one that they tell you about in the tutorial.
I was hoping there were going to be more gators.
Does she tie into the Desmond thing at all?
Nope. No. Okay, here, I do need to talk about this, though. It's structured, at the beginning, it kind of tells you, like, you bought an Animus, and thanks for helping out Abstergo by buying this. That's cool. And essentially, what they're doing is they want you to believe that the assassins are the bad guys. And so, when you know, the database, when you can read character entries, they're always skewed as assholes. So it's like, if you're reading about Agathe, the assassin leader in this game, it's just like, Agate was this guy. He's an escaped slave. He did this and this. And also, he's a terrible person because he's an assassin. So it's kind of like that.
Okay.
Which is an interesting idea.
Yeah, except it just makes things confusing as hell. You never really kind of get a good understanding of what's going on. So what
did you end up giving it?
3 out of 5.
And is there a multiplayer? Mm.
There is. It's like a weird asynchronous thing that up until the morning of when I was getting ready to post the review hadn't worked.
And so it's nothing to be excited
about? No, you just, it's kind of like Assassin's Creed Farmville, I guess. You're just pushing nodes, pushing buttons.
Yuck. That's actually, I'm kind of excited. All right, so you can read reviews of all of those on Games Radar and see video reviews of some of them as well. So on to the community segment. But before we get to the winner of last week's question of the week, we have to address that we didn't talk about the winner of 2 weeks ago. And we're not going to read through the whole thing, but the question was, what video game do you want to see turned into a movie?
Yes.
And looking through the answers, the winner of, I believe it was a video game of some kind, get in touch with us and we'll let you know what it was, is Spade Slick. And he said, Devil May Cry, directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Oh!
Just sit back for a moment and imagine the greatness. Who better to capture the borderline campy awesomeness of a white-haired half-demon killing shit with outrageous action scenes than him? And I do not disagree. That'd be a cool-ass movie.
Yeah.
And going the extra mile and naming the director, good touch.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate people who went exactly one extra mile.
And that earns you a...
It earns you a video game. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I actually wrote it down. It earns you a copy of Pokemon Black and White 2.
Oh.
Or, I'm sorry,
or
Pokemon
White 2.
We may throw in a
something
Steam
else
code for PID.
Or something.
Or something.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Be a secret.
Big secret.
Don't judge. Next, for last week, the question was, what's your favorite video game hero?
To win a Best Buy gift card,
yes,
for $75, go pre-order. What is the game?
Call of Duty!
Cartel. No. Go pre-order Call of Duty at Best Buy.
Call of Cthulhu, The Dark Horizon.
I think you mean Call of Duty Black Ops 2?
Yeah, Black Ops 2.
Oh, okay. I mixed it up. It's easy to...
You're gonna pre-order it anyway. If you haven't pre-ordered yet, go to Best Buy. Why not? Anyway, so the winner is, and this is a good one. I like this. My Cool White Lies. My favorite hero is Morden from Mass Effect. And I like this because Morden's awesome. And
Morden is awesome.
Yes.
I didn't even consider him, but now that you've mentioned it, I'm like, oh, yeah. So here we go. Sure, there are probably more obvious characters like Garrus or Shepard. They're clearly designed to be badasses, and they shoot guns good. Or some suchery. Morden, however, has an actual character arc, one where he is forced to question his own moral philosophy. He's not designed to be an obvious badass, but everything he does actually makes him one. He was one of the few people in the galaxy smart enough to keep the Krogan contained. One of the few who would come to realize that they deserved another chance. His story is one of genius, hubris, condemnation, reflection, and redemption. While Shepard is forced to sacrifice him or herself at the end of the game, it's not really sacrifice if you have no other option. Morden chooses to die to correct his greatest sins and set the galaxy back on a hopeful path. It was something he had to do. Someone else would have gotten it wrong. That's why he's probably the best character in the game and one of the most nuanced characters in the entire medium.
And those aren't actually spoilers, because if you were playing my game, Morden had died in Mass Effect 2 anyway.
Oh, bummer.
So sorry. Also, you can prevent all of that from happening if you play it a different way. But still,
but you don't have to.
That was a very well put answer.
It was. It's a good point. So you're going to win a $75 gift card
to Best Buy.
Best Buy.
And if you want to use that $75 Best Buy gift card to buy Black Ops 2, I'm sure Best Buy would be happy.
Yeah. You could also spend it on copies of AtGamer.
Oh.
But we do have another question of the week, and if you answer it and we like your answer, you could win a copy of WWE 13 for the PS3 or Killzone collection for, I think we have a bunch of like HD collections. We have PID codes.
PID codes.
We have a ton of stuff. We'll give you, we'll put a few in the article, but we have a bunch of stuff for you to choose from. And the question of the week is, have you ever been really scared by a video game?
Mm.
I will go first. The answer is yes on several occasions. One in particular, I mean, I can barely, I mean, obviously Slender and all that, but specific time I remember was playing Doom 3, which made you choose often between whether or not you wanted the gun or a flashlight, and you had to switch between them.
Which they completely removed that mechanic,
which
right?
sucks, because right. that mechanic was awesome, and anyone who complains about it didn't understand the horror element they were going for, but because apparently your character can't hold both at the same time. Whatever. I remember specifically, like, walking around with the flashlight And at one point, like getting to the end of a corner and being like, I should pull my gun out and to turn the corner just in case there's an enemy there. It's almost pitch black. So I do that, turn the corner, nothing there. And I'm like, phew, okay. All of a sudden, two eyes open like 5 inches from my face. Wow. Fucking scream at the top of my lungs, smack my keyboard and mouse a few times, just hard exit the game and then sit there like, okay. Okay, I should probably walk away from the computer right now.
Oh my god,
jeez.
Well, mine was very specific. Oh god, when I was like 13 and Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil came out, my babysitter had it, and she said, "Come check this game out. It's got snakes and secret agents in it." And I was like, "Okay, cool." The opening
that
cinematic
sounds awesome.
The opening cinematic scared me so bad, like with the cheesy dogs that were making the horrible, horrible dog sounds. Mm-hmm. And I didn't sleep for seriously a week straight. I was terrified and had nightmares every single night. And that game scared the shit out of me.
Jeez.
It was intense.
Well, as I put it on the, as I was reminded in the best horror games feature that we all put up today, it was Silent Hill 2 that really got me. There was, I think it was a combination of ones. The scene of, Pyramid Head assaulting
having its way with.
Yeah. That one really messed with me. But also there's a part where you have to stick your head through a hole in the wall and something horrible will probably happen when you do it. I was like, it was just pitch black in my like parents' living room, just like, should I do it? I'm so scared. man. That one really freaked me out.
I, as a rule, do not play scary video games. However, I was forced to play Slender during that 24-hour marathon, and that freaked the shit out of me. Other than that, no. Because
I don't
play
scary games now. Oh, well. You should play Amnesia.
No, I'm not. I hate
just
scary
play Amnesia.
I don't watch scary movies. I don't play scary games.
Just play
games.
Amnesia.
I'm a coward.
Okay. I'm not going to argue that. So that's it for this week. Be sure to check Games Radar this week. We have Assassin's Creed Trivia going up on Friday. Some of the cool features. I am especially happy about the feature we're running every so often now about lies video games tell us.
Yep,
it kind of grew from the top seven a few weeks ago about things video games get wrong all the time. We did one about things lies video games tell us about outer space. And soon we're going to have one about cars, car racing games.
Also, if you're going to play Assassin's Creed 3, our Assassin's Creed history guide is essential. Like,
yes.
It taught me the, what was it, 21 facts you should know about Assassin's Creed 3? Is that the name of it? Yeah, that one, as someone who played all the way through Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Revelations, and Brotherhood, I still learned a ton of stuff about it. That has nothing to do with spoiling Assassin's Creed 3. It's all information that was that takes place before or was revealed in previous stuff. So
And this week we're going to have one for Halo. Also, the Halo review, we didn't talk about it today just because there are so many games and we feel like getting out of here eventually. We'll talk about it next week, though, and you can check out the Halo review on GamesRadar.com. And spoiler warning, it's fucking awesome. Yep. Probably one of the best shooters in the last few years, surprisingly. One of the best, qualifying. So that's it for this week. Anyone have anything else to say? Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GR
Radio Radar.
Email us at
RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com.
Yeah!
Woo!
Follow us on Facebook at GamesRadar.
Go vote on Tuesday.
Yeah, go vote.
We have a feature. Please don't vote based on video games.
I am.
Go vote.
I'm voting based on video games.
Also, you could vote based on how your favorite game characters would vote in a feature I posted last week.
That was a good feature.
It was.
Although you fucked it up.
I fucked up the Steve entry.
We wanted to say Minecraft. We said, put Minecraft Steve on there saying he's going to vote for Romney because he's upset that Obama said you didn't build that when Steve obviously built that. And then you're like, that's a good idea. Then all of a sudden you're like, I put Steve, he would vote for Obama because he doesn't pay income taxes. And we're like, what's wrong with you?
Well, my mom complimented
me on that. I have never been more disappointed you in my life than when you fucked that up.
I'm sorry.
Ryan, did you do a feature on the Disney LucasArts thing?
I did. 9 Disney LucasArts crossovers that need to happen.
You should definitely read that as well because there's pictures of Disney characters in it. And who doesn't love that? episode of Radio Radar is brought to you by Best Buy. You can pre-order Call of Duty Black Ops 2 now at BestBuy.com.
Which is more educational?
I don't even have my cards.
Let's see here.
I need my cards, Tom.
I don't know what that game is. Ooh. All right. Here we go.
This is a game I have never played. Don't know much about.
All right. I think you should go first. Let's flip them.
Educational? Dope Wars. Presumably, who did this? It's John E. Dell is the developer, independent. Oh, published in 1984.
Yeah.
Dope Wars. So Dope Wars teaches you real-life skills, how to do it on the streets. This is how it's done on the streets!
Was that the game you could play on a calculator?
I played the game a lot on my
computer. If you are in a position where you need to survive in an inner city, this is the real education. The kind of education that'll keep you alive and living. Mostly alive. Maybe a little bit of living. Livelihood. Take up the banner. I'm done.
All right, Henry.
Oh, mine is Zork.
I always expect at least a little complimentary cough
laugh. Congratulations, you've told children to learn how to sell drugs.
On the streets!
Mine is Zork. It's a text-based adventure, so obviously it teaches you how to read, but it also teaches you...
How to adventure.
It teaches you imagination. It teaches you how to visualize things instead of having images and... fancy graphics tell
you
what's going on.
We got a feature going up today or tomorrow about games with no graphics.
That's right. So. I hope Zork is number one on there. We'll see. It's not ranked. Well, then Zork is definitely on it. Anyway, Zork makes you smart.
Spoilers.
So I chose America's Army because while all those kids are out there circle jerking about their KDRs, America's Army's teaching us that you have to actually pull out a compass and use it to learn directions and how to, I don't know, I never played America's Army, but it sounds pretty intense.
I played America's Army once, and my computer couldn't run it, so I shot the nearest person as soon as I got a gun, and I was put in the brig.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, this is so real.
So at my old employment, we did a FOIA request on the design doc for America's Army.
That's amazing.
And they sent it to us completely redacted.
Wow.
Incredible. But yeah, real-life simulation stuff and army skills that most people who play first-person shooters have no idea about.
Obviously, you didn't play it or else you would have joined the army because it's such a good brainwashing tool.
I guess so.
I chose Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It teaches you several things.
Okay.
Obviously, it teaches you how to box, or at least the basics. is it the sweet science?
The sweet science.
Yes. Sweet science. But that takes...
To float like a butterfly and or to sting like a bee.
One or the other. Never both.
No.
The thing it really teaches you, though, is about geography and racial stereotypes.
Yes.
Ooh.
Each character you fight is an over-the-top racist stereotype. And after playing it, you know what the people from that country look and act like and how never to describe the people from that country.
Right.
So it teaches you...
What is the final lesson from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Don't beat up other races.
Or beat them up extra hard.
Right.